This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your first stop for festival style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune into the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
The truck world news is bursting at the seams this week.
It is indeed. And if I may go into my radio voice.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Beverly Hills, your Cadillac has arrived.
I think you're have in mind the all-new, first ever 2025 Cadillac Escalade IQ.
That is a battery-operated Escalade, folks.
EV.
It's an EV.
So we're kind of being silly, but seriously speaking, this is big news, right?
It is. It's part of a larger trove of news coming out of General Motors in terms of their switch from gas to electric.
And we love Escalades here at TFL Talking Trucks.
I really like the supercharged ones, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, because look at this. We recently did a story. I had a pleasure of driving the Escalade V, supercharged monster.
It is a beast.
Yes. And you know the noises it makes? Did you drive it when
yes,
it was
I
here?
Yes, I did. Of course I did. I put it on.
Oh, that's right. You were racing across airstrip.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want to do with this thing.
Yes. But now there's another Escalade in town that you could drag race.
Yeah,
and actually, I want to see that.
That would be worthwhile.
Escalade V versus IQ.
Okay, well, we have a lot to cover, but we will get into the meat and potatoes of what the IQ is all about and why it is on the truck talk side of everything as opposed to the car one. It has a frame, so
yes,
something you should keep in mind.
Exactly, and we also have other news. For example, Fisker Alaska pickup was unveiled just a few days ago.
Yeah.
And also more news about our old diesel Ford, our OBS F-250 Power Stroke.
Yep.
And much more. And also, we have a comment and question from Patreon, from our Patreon supporters.
Yeah. Now, the big thing about this video and this podcast is that in about three quarters of the way through, you're going to see a interview that Andre did with, I believe, an engineer from Cadillac.
Not any engineer. Mandy Damon, chief engineer of the Escalade IQ. And I had the pleasure of speaking with Mandy several days ago, actually. This was well before the embargo, before the Escalade actually launched. So how about this? How about we thank our Patreon supporters first?
Yes.
So thank you, Patreon supporters. Patreon.com/TFLcar is where you can support us.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll address at least one question later on in the show. We can actually play the interview. I want to get to it actually sooner rather than later.
Okay.
And then you and I, well, we have to put it in perspective, right?
Yes.
And discuss other news.
Exactly.
Welcome to a very special episode of TFL Talking Trucks, because I'm here with the introduction, world debut of the new 2025 Cadillac Escalade IQ. And IQ stands for electric.
Yeah, it's our electric Escalade. That's right.
And I have Mandy with me from the engineering team. You're the chief engineer for this.
I am, yes.
So can we walk around this new vehicle because it's large, like an Escalade should be?
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah. And that's probably one of the first things you noticed, right? Was this like very bold, athletic stance and just its presence in this room.
Yeah, totally. I mean, when I think Escalade, I think, you know, large, big presence, because I think that's what customers are looking for.
Yeah.
But now this is not the same Escalade that was there before, is it?
It's not. No, we really reimagined this and like started from the ground up with this being electric. One of the first things you'll see here too is this 24-inch wheel and 35-inch tire. It's very much fits into the proportions of the vehicle. If you see it, you know, out on the streets though, it's wow. We've got Magna Ride and air suspension, 100% standard on all these vehicles. We also have four-wheel steer that enables us, you know, from a maneuverability standpoint, you can do a lot with that. It decreases our turn circle such that this is the best turn circle that an Escalade has ever have. So although it looks very big and bold, you get in it and the vehicle really shrinks around you because of that suspension technology.
Well, let's take a kind of a step back, right?
Yeah.
And I want to look at the profile of the, I'm going to call it the truck.
Yeah, please, we do.
Well, yeah. Because traditionally the Cadillac was, you know, frame-based, you know, truck-based platform.
That's right.
With lots of luxury, lots of power. But it looks like the wheelbase is quite long because the wheels are pushed out
That's
to the
right.
corners.
Yeah, we really push the wheels out to the corners. That's what enabled this very expressive design. I mentioned, you know, the four-wheel steer and mm-hmm. how that helps us from a turn circle perspective. We do have a lot of cargo space both front and rear. And, you know, although it's so big and bold, 0 to 60 in less than 5 seconds in our Velocity Max mode, we've got a 24-module battery pack in there, which will get you up to 450 miles of range on a full charge mm-hmm. and 750 horsepower.
So more horsepower than the current Escalade V, mm-hmm. which is already pretty monstrous, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then the overall length of this new IQ Escalade is about the ESV size. ESV yep. is the long wheelbase, right?
Correct, yes. That's right.
But the roofline is a bit different.
It is,
right?
Yeah.
Because the current one kind of has a little bit higher roof in the back.
That's right. And we stepped away from that a little bit to get this expressive design and really, you know, to meet our EV customers and those that want to purchase this vehicle where they are. So a bit of a departure from that, but this is still a three-row Lux 5 SUV, got 7 seating positions, and then we have available executive second row.
All right, well, let's take a look at the rear before we start talk, kind of okay. go inside and kind of looking at some of the details. Mm-hmm. I can see kind of traditional Escalade, kind of a vertical light signature here in the back as well.
Yeah, we stayed true to the brand there. You know, the Escalade nameplate is strong. The Cadillac brand has had the vertical lights now, and we stuck with that. And then just added some details like the piano keys that you see here in the rear. And we do have approach lighting where an animation and choreography plays when you walk up to the vehicle with the fob in your pocket. And then departure animations when you walk away. The vehicle kind of says hello and goodbye to you.
You've got the Escalade name badge here in the back.
Yeah.
And down below, it's not shown right now, but it's still a truck, so it will tow, right?
That's right. Yeah, and this is where like we really didn't compromise. We've got up to 8,000 pounds of towing capability. Should you want to take your boat, you know, to the lake on the weekends, and you can absolutely do so.
All right. So I think maybe we could start to look inside. So let's open. How about, can we open all the doors while we talk about charging?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So the charge port here is on the driver's side in the back.
Correct.
So you still have, like you said, 24-module Ultium system.
That's right, yeah.
So which means it's capable of pretty fast charging as well.
Yeah, if you're DC fast charging at 350 kilowatts, you can get 100 miles of range in only 10 minutes.
So that's kind of similar to some of the other vehicles,
it
you
is.
Know, on the same kind of Ultium battery structure.
Exactly. And then, you know, giving our customers 450 miles of range, you can do a lot with 450 miles.
All right, so let's start to look inside because that's, you know, where the Escalade
right.
really kind of shines, right?
Yeah.
So let's start in the front.
Okay. So we've taken a more minimalist approach on this of removing some of the physical buttons and making the virtual controls, really putting them right at your fingertips. So that front command center screen that you see, that's where you can easily access your HVAC controls, power open, close doors, a lot of your driver settings. The beautiful diagonal 55-inch screen comes standard in every vehicle. On the right side, there is a front passenger infotainment screen that's polarized, so it isn't a distraction to the driver.
So there's like a vertical line there.
That's right. That's where you can see that vertical line. Yeah, but you can stream, you know, your content, and it makes for a very relaxing experience.
And it's a kind of a curved screen. So, I mean, this is kind of the first, well, for an Escalade, right?
It is.
I mean, even though the current one already has, you know, pretty amazing screen structure.
Yeah. And then you start to see some of the speakers. This vehicle is equipped with 40 speaker AKG system. We've also got laser etched wood grain in the doors, and that deco does contain lights which you can customize. We've got 126 colors to choose from.
So over here on the door, yeah.
Yep, that's right.
I see all the details. Let me look a little closer. So there's some controls on the left of the steering wheel, right?
Yeah.
And then the steering wheel itself has controls. Mm-hmm. For example, you know, the heated steering wheel. And then I see already on the steering wheel that the light structure for the Super Cruise.
Exactly. Super Cruise standard. Yeah, Ultra Cruise will be available.
So we haven't, at CFL Truck, we haven't spoken about Ultra Cruise very much. Can you explain a little bit behind, well, we know Super Cruise, right? Mm-hmm. So it's pre-mapped highways, hands-free driving, but the driver is paying attention.
That's right.
Now, what's Ultra Cruise?
Yeah, Ultra Cruise really takes hands-free driving to the next level. So if you imagine, you know, Super Cruise today, you're able to engage it on mapped highways and kind of sit back and relax. Ultra Cruise will allow you to do that even more places. So think, you know, driveway to driveway. And we've added more sensors into the vehicle and a compute system to help us accomplish that. The redundancy is still the driver, so you need to be ready to engage if needed. But that's also made it so that we didn't have to have a bunch of LiDAR pods on the roof. And a lot of the sensors in Ultra Cruise are, you know, they're hidden from the customer. So that's nice. You can have this hands-free driving experience without all the sensor technology that you see on fully autonomous today.
Well, can you kind of give me some hints where some of the sensors are?
Yeah.
Because even though you've incorporated it, because when I first came up to the truck, mm-hmm. I didn't see any, like, bulbous things on the roof, for example.
That's good, yeah. So we've hidden them behind the windshield. We have a fair amount of sensors there. That's obviously, you know, high and center of the vehicle is the ideal spot to put your autonomous driving sensors. And then in the mirrors here, you can see a camera pod there that we snuck in.
So the separate one here.
That's correct, yep. That's specific to Ultra Cruise, as well as, you know, we've got additional radars behind the fascia, and then the cameras in our wheel opening moldings.
So right, there's one down here.
That's right. There's one there, yes.
So those are the extra, and in the back as well.
Correct,
right?
Yeah.
So those extra sensors will help, you know, navigating, for example, a city environment as well.
Exactly, yeah. Being able to see, you know, vehicles approaching from the rear, essentially everything that a human driver can observe in the vehicle, even more. And then, you know, taking out the opportunity for human error.
And then you still have the 360-degree view, right? So if the driver wants to see that.
Yes. Yeah.
They can see that.
Yes. The 360 view, you know, that'll be at your fingertips too, something that you can easily get to and then use it to help you park or maneuver in tight spaces.
Cool. Let's keep kind of digging on the inside.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of leaning in.
Okay. Check out that console too. That's something we're really proud of a new, fresh way to integrate the front console there with it being kind of cantilevered and floating from the IP.
Yeah, let's show that because you also have kind of the screen in the center consoles for some controls.
Yeah.
And then the dial, is that the
multifunction controller?
Okay.
You can use that, I mean, and you are able to reach the center screen, but if you're more comfortable and relaxed with your arm on the armrest, you can use that multifunction controller to get to any of the settings.
Gotcha. And then your reverse and drive, that's the stock on the
correct.
On the column, right?
Yep. That's right. And this does have passive power mode too, so there's, you may notice there's no start button on this, but
so you kind of jump in, close the door, if the key's in your pocket, let's say, and the vehicle's already on.
That's right, vehicle's on, push the brakes, you know, shift to drive and go. So very, very seamless for the driver.
All right, so now the doors will also have power open and close. Is that right?
We have optional power open and close. That's on all four doors. And then we have the option that the driver's door can power open for you upon approach. So if your hands are full or, you know, you're just walking up to the vehicle, it can open for you and you're good to go.
Okay. Now let's take a look on the rear seat here.
Yeah.
So this is still a three row.
Yes, it is.
Correct,
yes.
But here in the middle, you have captain chairs.
Yep. Yeah, and these are, I'd say, their captain's chairs are almost even a little better than that, because we've essentially taken all of the technology that's in the front row seats with the headrest speakers, heat, cool, massage, you name it. It's all there. So this is where you want to sit. This is our executive second row. We even have fold-out tables so that if you're wanting to be productive during your journey, you can do that and have your own tray table. We've got two charge mats there, USB. The controls in that center, command center, are great for opening the doors, HVAC, lighting, you name it, it's all there. And then also being able to stream your content from the rear seat infotainment screens.
And there's the panoramic roof,
yeah,
right?
That's a low-E glass roof that comes standard on every Escalade IQ.
So the center console can be there like this, right?
Correct.
Or there's an option not to have that as
That's right. Yeah, if you don't choose the executive seating package, then it is more standard captain's chairs with removal of the center console, and then you get the pass through to the rear seat.
Can we open the rear hatch as well while we're talking about this? So, and I'm assuming the seat reclines also.
It does.
The center row. Just a bit.
Yeah, very similar to if you were in the front passenger seat, you can recline and relax back there.
All right, so here's a kind of a sneak peek at the third row.
Correct,
right?
Yeah.
And also kind of the cargo area here.
Yeah. Yep, so we've got the 60-40 seat split, three seats if you need them. You can fold it down if you don't, or if you're looking to
And they're like power folding
cargo,
kind of like now,
yep,
right?
Yep, power folding, exactly.
And like there's maybe a little bit of storage here.
There is, yes.
And then we have to talk about the e-trunk as well,
Let's
right?
see that, yeah.
So, because, you know, this is traditional storage here.
It is.
But there's more. Can we open the frunk or e-trunk, right? So the front compartment.
That's right.
And the hood is really long.
It's a big hood. Yes.
There's no engine in there.
There's no engine, no. And this is another place where, you know, building an Escalade IQ from the ground up gave us the freedom and to make this what we wanted. We've got 12 cubic feet here of storage. So we showed you the real rear. Now in this front space, there's a lot that you can do with this, even a couple of golf bags. We've talked to a lot of people that feel good about being able to put objects in here and feel like they're secure because it's out of sight and most people don't expect it. There's lighting for it. We've got the outlets there. We have hooks to make sure that your items don't slide. And then some accessories that will be available too, like a sliding tray so that you don't have to worry about reach.
Yeah, for example, like here, 400 watts.
Yeah.
But tell me about vehicle-to-grid capability, right? Because how's that going to work?
Yeah, we'll have vehicle-to-home capability with this. You know, if your home loses power and you want to keep your refrigerator running so that you don't lose all of your food items, you can very much feed power from the vehicle back into your home.
And that would be done using the charge port?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct, yeah. We've got an adapter with our charge port that will make that possible.
Very, very neat. So tell me about kind of the power. We talked about 750 horsepower combined.
That's right.
Right? But tell me about the motors and how it's laid out. It's two motors,
correct? Yeah, it's two motors. We've got a front drive unit and a rear drive unit. That's delivering power to the four wheels. In our Velocity Max mode, 0 to 60 is less than 5 seconds. So, you know, this thing goes. And we've been testing that recently. And every time we just look at each other and you can't help but smile when a vehicle of this size has that amount of acceleration.
That's very, very neat.
Yeah.
So have you tested or have you driven some of these the prototypes?
We have, yeah. Right out of the gate, it was so impressive. Just the acceleration, the maneuverability, of course, the active safety technology that's in this, and then just the luxurious materials, right? You get all of that with MR and air and premium seating materials and this very minimalist IP with huge screens. It's an incredible experience.
Very cool. So I was reading some of the specs on this. So starting price will be $130,000.
Correct, yeah.
This is a 2025 model. So it'll be built next year or middle of next year?
Yeah, we're targeting next summer, yeah.
Okay, to start production.
Exactly, yeah.
So we're like a year away maybe-ish, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From the IQ to come out. And the IQ name. So you have, Cadillac has other IQ, well, like Celestiq and Lyric, right?
Correct, yes.
Is that kind of the play on that?
That is, yeah. Naming? Yeah, as you've said, you know, Cadillac's been coming out with the new naming convention and following the IQ. Because Escalade customers have certain expectations and it's such a strong nameplate that we wanted to stay true to, that's why we chose the Escalade IQ naming convention. So, you know, it really satisfies customer base today and stays true to the Escalade nameplate while reimagining it as an electric vehicle.
So, and that will come kind of in one size, right? Because people are used to kind of the shorter wheelbase now and kind of the long one. But the idea is that it'll come this way.
For now.
Correct?
Yeah. Yep, that's it.
Well, yeah. Tell me about future products.
I can't. I will next year.
No. Okay. No. We're joking about this.
Yeah,
no, I see there's some sensors up there as
that's
well.
That's right.
And the cameras.
Yeah, the rear-facing cameras. Yeah, so, you know, your standard rear backup cams, which we know and love, and then I mentioned during Ultra Cruise and even Super Cruise of lane changes and knowing if a vehicle is coming up behind you, in addition to just pedestrian alerts and having all the sensors in the rear so that it can really put eyes in the back of your head.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Oh, I just noticed, I can see through here, yeah. I noticed a trailer brake controller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's still a truck.
It is. It's absolutely still a truck, yes.
You can kind of see it if you look through by the dash in the front.
Yeah, so that's one of the few physical controls we kept in the vehicle.
Well, that's important for safety, right?
Exactly, yes.
And Super Cruise includes towing,
yep,
right?
Correct, it does now.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So even if you have a trailer behind the vehicle, which is kind of a complex situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're towing up to 8,000 pounds, there's a lot going on.
Yeah,
there.
A lot of development work, but the vehicle's ready to respond to that and knows what you're doing.
Very cool. What's like your favorite part about it?
I've got to say the driving dynamics. Just, you know, I can't say it enough. To get into a vehicle, you know, it's so quiet, it's so luxurious. The amount of acceleration you get with really good ride and handling performance.
Well, you talked about MagnaRide as well.
MagnaRide,
right?
Yep.
So is that active? I mean, it's always kind of adjusting,
isn't it? It's instantaneous, yeah. The response rate on our fourth generation of our MagnaRide suspension technology is phenomenal.
So yeah, it's adjusting to like different road surfaces.
It is.
Curves or straights, right?
That's right, yeah. And then having the four-wheel steer, 100% air suspension. We've done a lot. We've got road noise cancellation. Everything. Just, we put it just, all in.
Well, yeah. Yeah, this is the flagship, right?
That's right, yeah.
Well, I really appreciate it. Thank
you
for walking
me. Thank you so much. Nice chatting with you.
Walking around the Escalade IQ and seeing it for the first time right here. So that's very special. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's continue. First, let's go into Patreon. For those of you who don't know, we only have one way of supporting us with Patreon. We only have
one page.
And that is the only way you can support us on Patreon. But with your support, this has actually helped us do what we're doing right now.
Yes. So we have a comment or a question from Ben Furco. Sorry, Ben, if I messed up your last name.
I'm loving it, but keep going.
So actually, we have more news because recently the Land Cruiser launched, right?
Yes.
It's not technically a truck also, but it is a frame. It's related to the Tacoma, of all things.
Yeah, it's a truck.
It's a truck.
Why would
that
be a truck?
Yeah, it's a truck. So Ben says this. I have a new video idea if you're interested. Comparing the all-new 2024 Land Cruiser from Toyota against the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Have you ever thought about that comparison, my friend? I just surprised you, didn't I?
I wasn't expecting that, but I think I understand where he's going with this.
He says he's considering both because both of them have kind of boxy retro designs, and he really loves that. And you just had your hands on the Santa Fe, right?
Right. And so, unfortunately, I can't say a word about it in terms of anything, really. I can't even provide actual pictures of it yet because they haven't really been released. But here's the good news. That particular vehicle we did cover ad nauseum.
Yes, and this was the... the XRT concept as well.
Yes, and there is an XRT concept which has more off-roady components hanging off of it. And what he's referring to, I would say, is that the overall look, they're both essentially two-box platformed vehicles in terms of they look like old-school SUVs. But they're very, very different in terms of how they're built.
Yeah, well, the Santa Fe, it's mostly based on kind of a crossover chassis,
right? That's exactly it, yes.
And the Land Cruiser is a body and frame vehicle.
Precisely.
Traditional. And one is off-road worthy, the Land Cruiser, you know, low range, you know, all those things, pretty great ground clearance. The Santa Fe, it's also sort of, you know, dirt worthy, but less so.
I can simply put it into the ball, the court of what the Land Cruiser is. And the Land Cruiser is an actual truck that can handle actual hard off-roading. It has suspension travel and everything else that are far more akin to a truck than, say, a crossover. Crossover vehicles like the Santa Fe are really not built for serious rock crawling. But with that being said, we've proven in the past with the old Santa Fe that they're fairly capable as well for light off-roading.
Exactly. So, well, will we do a comparison between them? Mm-hmm. Possibly if we have them, you know, available to us at the same time.
It's possible that we may have them at the same time. And I think it would make for a fun video because you can really get some people scratching their heads looking at these two vehicles that look kind of similar, and at the same time are very, very different in terms of what they're capable of doing.
Well, thank you for your comment and question, Ben. Well, now let's jump in directly into Escalade IQ interview so you guys can actually hear from the development team, the engineering team, Mandy, who was leading that team, about what the Escalade IQ actually is, and then we have to discuss it.
All right.
Whammo.
Okay, so really deep in the weeds on this vehicle. And let's recap what we have just discussed. This is a large SUV, not a small, not a mid, a large SUV.
Full size, dude.
Full size.
It was evident as soon as I walked up to it in person, it had presence. You know, it's hard to express that using just a picture of a SUV sitting by the curbside, right? But when you're approaching it, this is a large vehicle. And I think it has to be. It's imperative because Escalade has a history of being very large, luxurious, big truck-based SUV.
That's right. So you folks in Beverly Hills who are driving G-Wagons, when that becomes no longer vogue because the evils of gasoline, this... maybe your choice. Now, there are a couple things I wanted to point out right away that I noticed. One of which is that, and we discussed this off camera, the hood is remarkably long, especially for a vehicle that, technically speaking, doesn't really need a hood at all or much of a hood.
Exactly.
It's just really, really big, which kind of harks back to really old school Cadillacs, And I kind of dig that. I think that's kind of a cool styling part. But in addition, the interior is huge.
Yes, and the wheelbase is also pretty huge. Mm-hmm. It's really a long wheelbase. So think about Suburban or Cadillac Escalade ESV.
Right.
So it's way stretched out. The wheels are pushed out, as you saw. And the hood is also, yeah, remarkably long, but it uncovers a space. They call it e-trunk or frunk, right?
E-trunk.
Electrical trunk?
Okay.
Really, well, come on.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, they can do better.
So yeah, styling, I think they nailed the styling. If I may say so. I mean, it still needs to grow on us a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need to see it in person. You know, we need to drive it. But I think they really nailed the size and styling. But I'm not so sure they nailed everything about this.
Well, a couple questions leading up to it. First of all,
yes.
The platform, is it based on something like a Hummer EV or perhaps maybe even a Silverado EV?
So they also have the GMC Sierra EV truck that will be hitting the market very soon. I believe because it's a little bit narrower and elongated, so it's not really a Hummer, so to speak, quote-unquote, chassis, even though all of them are called Ultium. So Ultium is kind of this overarching term that they use for actually everything, including their smaller Escalade vehicles.
Right. So this is battery tech, essentially, that it's referring to.
Yeah, and they have this IQ name. Let's address the name.
Okay.
First. So inside TFL, we're calling this the Escalatic.
Because like IQ that? At the end of it, I get it.
Yeah. But really, it's their kind of electrification strategy for Cadillac, right?
Okay.
So they have the Celestiq, and they have the, what's the other one?
Oh.
Celestiq Lyriq.
The Lyriq, yeah.
So the Celestiq is their amazing new sedan, right? Which starts at $340,000.
That is a lot of money for any sedan.
Yeah. This thing, I think they kind of nailed the price, actually. $130,000 starting.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
It's a ridiculous amount of money.
But consider what it's stacked up against, right?
Right. And that's where this is going. So one of the vehicles we recently tested was actually a Mercedes that had, technically it was a three-row SUV, although a lot smaller and with a much, much shorter range. And that was all around the same price.
Exactly. So the Mercedes EQS SUV 580 format. You know, all of these things have long names.
Yes, they do.
And they should fix that somehow.
Yes, they should.
At least the Escalade, kind of the main part of the Escalade still remains.
Yeah.
It's still called the Escalade.
Yes, I'm grateful for that.
By the way, I asked if this is a replacement for the gasoline Escalade.
And?
They said no. They said it's an addition to the gasoline-powered models, which is great because choice is always key, right?
It is. And another thing that we should also point out is that ridiculous price of $130,000+ is actually less than another Escalade.
Yeah, because Escalade V starts at $150,000, basically. $149,900.
Right. Yeah. So that's one way of looking at it. Or you can look at it as essentially buying three or four cars. So now let's go back to the platform and what underpins this vehicle and kind of go back to its range, battery size, stuff like that.
Yeah, totally. So like we said, they nailed the size of it and the look of it. I think they did really great. Now, it's related to the same Ultium truck chassis that they have underneath the Sierra EV.
Now, you said a key word there. You said truck chassis.
And actually, I asked them, can I call this a truck? And they said, absolutely you can, Andre. So I was calling it a truck, and Cadillac team agreed.
Okay.
They're also calling it a truck. And that with that comes air suspension.
Mm-hmm.
With that comes four-wheel steering and twin motor technology. So they decided not to go with a three-motor system
like they have
Hummer.
The Hummer, right?
Yeah. And I think here's my rub with that. 750 horsepower from two motors.
Yeah.
That sounds really, really amazing, right?
Yeah, it's still odd, yeah.
But it's heavy. They didn't quote the weight of this vehicle.
Oh, it's going to be heavy.
But they did quote the battery size, which they said at least 200 kilowatt hours.
Okay.
That Mercedes we just mentioned has 108 kilowatt hour battery. So this battery in this Cadillac, almost twice the size of a Mercedes.
How big is the battery inside of a Silverado EV? Would you say roughly?
About the same size?
Okay.
So it's 24. See, they never really actually state the exact usable size of the battery.
Yeah, right, of course.
For whatever reason, because battery technologies may change, right? So they may fluctuate between, you know, certain ranges.
Solid state and all that can come along and change things too.
Yeah, you never know. But they actually came out and said at least producing more than 200 kilowatt hours. This is in their press release.
Okay.
So this is a humongous battery. And 750 horsepower, in my mind, is no longer enough. Because they're quoting 5-second-ish accelerations, 0 to 60 acceleration.
That would indicate that this is a very heavy vehicle.
Yeah. And I think the Mercedes is listing at 4.5 seconds, 0 to 60s. You know, the Hummer with a 1,000 horsepower truck is about 3.5 seconds, 0 to 60. So all of a sudden, you know, those blistering 0 to 60 times are not part of this Escalade IQ, because 5 seconds is great, but in the world it lives in, it's almost a little bit slowish.
Yeah, I am guessing that that may have something to do with the way they are running the battery and how they're trying to stretch out range.
And also because range is huge.
Yes.
You heard that, 450 miles. So that's incredible
range. That is an incredible amount of range for an upright actual SUV-like vehicle.
With a huge front end.
It's massive. Yeah. So if that's the case, perhaps they're taking a little tiny bit off of one side. That would be 0 to 60 performance, which is still ridiculous at 5 seconds. And moving that over to, hey, we can get a little bit more range if we dial it back a little bit. Now, look, they didn't say that. I have nothing official about that. That's just a guess.
Exactly. And also their decision to go with two motors and not three. I think that's also part of it. One part of it is controlling the price,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they could have said, oh, it costs $200,000, right?
Sure. I mean,
but it seems like they were kind of mindful about where this vehicle starts in relation to its competitor vehicles.
Right. And there are other vehicles out there, not just US and German, but other vehicles that are up to that price. And as ridiculous as that is, here's the good news about it, is that a lot of tech that is going into Cadillac, the massive screen you're seeing inside, the platform, the battery tech, the motor tech, all of that stuff trickles down. And eventually you're going to see that in other vehicles for a much less eye-watering price.
Yeah, and there, of course, this is a 2025 model, as we said. They said it's going to be available in the summer, or production starts in the summer of 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about a year away from now. But they've had some issues delivering electric vehicles. Just look at how many Hummers they sold, GMC. I mean, Silverado EV is just beginning to touch customer hands, not quite yet, even though they promised really, you know, spring to summer. We're already almost at the end of summer of 2023.
Well, for Cadillac specifically, the Lyriq is just starting to really get out there too.
Yes.
And it's mostly in the coastal. I know that California is beginning to get them because I've seen a few out there.
It kind of makes sense because, you know, most populous areas and,
you know, the financially well-to-do areas, of course, it makes sense. So this is actually following on the heels of the Lyriq. And as far as I know, that's it for Cadillac for the near future. They've got nothing else.
As far as electrification that they have announced,
except for one car.
Hmm?
It's really long and extraordinarily expensive at over $300,000.
Is that the Celestiq?
The Celestiq.
Yes.
And I'm sure we're both pronouncing it wrong. that, which we're not going to go into detail about, but that is...
Well, it's like a custom build that Ken built.
It's just a ridiculously expensive vehicle. So...
Oh, by the way.
Yes?
You know, I'll start speaking with Mandy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how they always say, we do not talk about future product?
Yeah.
Right? There's something else brewing. Because I said, well, how about this? And how about that? And they said, stay tuned.
Ah.
So it's not like this IQ Escalade, as nice as it is. I mean, it showcases a lot of their technology.
Sure.
I think they left a little bit of room to, you know, make it like super, super, super special and more expensive.
So maybe we'll see a V version of this that knocks a second off the time or something.
Or something
like that.
And more luxurious. So it's still a three-row SUV. So let's discuss what they did great, I think, and also what they didn't do so good.
Fire away.
So the front interior is amazing.
Yeah.
That wraparound screen, I think it's a tasteful way of doing it.
It's better, I think, than the way Mercedes-Benz did their hyperscreen.
Yeah, Mercedes screen is just overwhelming. It's in your face, right?
It's kind of blobbish, and at the same time, you can really tell where the screens are. This one, everything is neatly put together. It looks a little bit less blobbish. I'm using the term again.
They removed a lot of physical controls, which I think is a mistake. But we haven't used their latest controls, so we can't judge it quite yet.
Yeah, until we actually do, that'd be fair to say.
They have the shifter, right? The park, neutral, reverse.
Which is very similar drive. To Mercedes.
It's on the stock. It's on the column.
Yeah.
And then on the center console, they have a rotary dial that you can control many features with.
So like an iDrive type setup, something similar kind of, to that.
Yeah. Right. And they've had similar already in their current vehicles, right? Similar executions, but this is taken to the next level.
Of course.
So I think they did pretty well there.
Okay.
As far as the design of the front. The second row seats, also amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, they said, you know, they use the same creature comforts, you know, ventilation, massage, heat, recline. So the second row passengers, especially with their executive, you know, packages, have a lot of opulence.
It's like a little folding table that comes out. Yeah, stuff a little. Like that.
It's almost like a first class seat at an airplane, right?
Right, gotcha.
So that's quite nice. But I think they kind of forgot about the third row. What about those customers in the third row in coach?
In steerage. Yeah, well, the heck with the, you know, let them sit back there. They're lucky they get an air conditioning vent, as far as I'm concerned. That's the penalty box.
Okay, well, I'm exaggerating it a little bit, but I think they paid a lot of attention to the front two rows, mm-hmm. but then, the legroom and the entire space of the third row is a little bit compromised, in my opinion.
Really? I would have thought that it would have been pretty big, because a regular Escalade, the third row is usable by its adults.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get the chance to climb all over this vehicle. It was a one-off concept.
Yeah, gotcha.
Right?
Gotcha.
So I couldn't like sit in every seat and do all this stuff. But I think they didn't even highlight the third row. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it still exists. Third row, it's a three-row SUV, which is humongous.
Okay. So what else did they get wrong?
Okay. So I think the price is decent. Mm. Considering that their supercharged Escalade starts at 150-ish, mm-hmm. getting underneath that price was, I think, really important to me and I think to them and their customers. So I think they got that fairly right. I think something else they got right is four-wheel steering.
Yeah, but I think you're going
to
see
more and more maneuverable.
Right. You're going to see that in more and more vehicles going forward that are electrified. And part of that has to do with the actual setup in the rear. And it's no longer as complex as something that, you know, the Delco steering or whatever it was back in the day. Mercedes-Benz uses a lot of four-wheel steering as well, up to 10 degrees, which I believe this one does up to 10 degrees as well. Mm-hmm. And it's very effective. It works really well.
Yeah, it makes a big vehicle seem smaller.
It certainly does.
Yeah. So that's really, really good. So they didn't talk about like rough road, you know, this is not an off-road vehicle by any stretch.
No,
really.
I would
imagine
how
Rivian
snow.
R1S
yeah.
Is another vehicle in this space, but Rivian R1S is really, you know, has an eye for off-roading.
Yep.
Has really great ground clearance, short overhangs,
yep.
Really smaller wheelbase, also three-row capable. But this is really streets only.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Yeah, it looks like something that maybe would be somewhat snow capable and it could handle certain things, but for the most part, you do not take this off road, especially with that really, really long wheelbase.
Exactly. So I think fast charging is still here.
Yep.
Even though the battery is humongo. It's an 800-volt charging system capable. So it drives in 400 volts, charges in 800 volt, which allows it to charge quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And they say 100 miles can be gained in 10 minutes. So that's basically what the GMC Hummer vehicles are capable of.
Right.
And also the Silverado Sierra EV trucks are capable of. But, you know, you said Beverly Hills in the very beginning.
Yep.
I think there's probably more charging locations in California than in the rest of the country just because of the population density. it might be hard to drive this cross country still because of charging network issues.
Yeah, but that's not a slant against Cadillac.
No.
They've made other mistakes, but that's not one of them. And besides, by the time this thing is out there on the road, you'll be able to use Tesla chargers as well.
And ACS, yeah, mm-hmm. Different standard. And hopefully, actually, they didn't say if they will initially sell this with a different plug or if they will transfer to the Tesla and ACS standard right away. Mm-hmm. But that kind of makes sense, actually, because it's a new vehicle.
Well, what other car companies are doing that are offering electric vehicles within the year is that they're offering the first batch are CCS with a adapter, and then later on, they'll be replaced by the NACS with an adapter for CCS.
Totally. Yeah. Another thing I think they got a little tiny bit wrong is towing.
Really?
This is really important to me.
Yes.
Truck channel, right? Truck mm-hmm. podcast.
Right.
This will have a hitch. The concept did not have a hitch, by the way, so I couldn't confirm this.
Okay.
But they said it's going to have a hitch. They did something really amazing, though. They included the trailer brake controller. If
oh,
you can
cool.
believe it or not. So that's great. But only 8,000 pounds of towing. 8,000. So I was thinking, what are you towing if you own a Cadillac Escalade?
Horse.
One horse. Or two horses.
You can do two horses, couldn't you?
Yeah, two horses.
Okay.
Yeah, that's easy. But what if you have a large boat? And I'm thinking about, you know, one of those 25-foot, you know, like a ski nautique, you know, very, very expensive ski boat that approaches 9 or 10,000 pounds on a trailer. Mm. What if you couldn't
you
tow
hire
that?
Somebody else because you have the means to do so?
Or you use your GMC heavy duty?
Yeah, you pull your old stinky truck out of the garage and to tow it. That's a whole different topic. But I see what you're saying about towing, though.
Oh, I see. You know what you do is you go to your lake house.
Yes.
And the boat is already there. It's
right.
at the lake.
Yeah, you have somebody actually deliver it for you. It's my point about having the means to do so. Look, if you can afford a $130,000 vehicle, you can afford to have somebody else take your boat out of storage and bring it to the lake. But in all honesty, okay, the towing amount, this is something that's been driving me crazy. And
yeah.
I want to throw this out there. I'm not going to do a full rant. But a lot of automakers, especially those who are building trucks and SUVs that are electric, are saying they could tow 5,000, 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 pounds, whatever it may be.
Sure.
But they're not giving you details on how or what type of loop that they're stating that can go on. What is your lossage? And I know that that's a general thing because it's never the same. But for the most part, is that a 100-mile loop at elevation? Is that a 100-mile loop where you go up 1,000 feet? There are so many things. And then what is exactly your mileage when that happens? So I think that without that, simply saying that something can tow something isn't accurate. It should be can tow something with this type of degradation or
yeah.
this type of loss.
They did not announce degradation in their initial
release. Of course
release.
Not. And
yeah.
they're not going to. And I'm not blaming Cadillac. This is a universal issue that covers all automakers.
Well, that's why we're here.
Yes.
You know, we're going to hook up a trailer to this.
And we're going
to
tow
it. But my thing is, I wanted to see like 10,000-pound number. I wanted to see a bigger number. What, you know, you might be towing your large Airstream.
Well, with over 700 horsepower, and I'm what's the torque, roughly?
It's like almost 800 pound-feet of
okay.
torque.
So with that much power and torque, you would figure it could easily tow 10,000, 15,000.
Or 20 million pounds.
Right. But here's where I'm going with this. Maybe they did that, limiting the towing, so they can maintain some form of respectable range. Maybe it's exactly half the range and over adjusted amount of highway. You know, maybe that's where they're going with this. And so that's why they want to keep your numbers lower so they can extend that range. That's a guess.
Yeah. But so you see where my criticisms
yes.
are. So my criticisms are it could have had a little bit more power. It could have had a slightly higher tow rating.
Right.
And would have been a little bit quicker, 0 to 60.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall, you know, from where Escalade has been to where it's going now
right.
with this electric model, I think they really did a great job style-wise, you know, feature-wise, and the rest.
I would agree, but there's one final gripe I have.
Uh-oh, what's that?
Really is there's just no buttons. There are pretty much like no buttons.
Well, the trailer brake controller is
an
actual button.
You get to squeeze a little
Yeah, the little squeezy thing.
Oh, that's cute. No,
yeah.
think about your average buyer of a Cadillac product. For the most part, they're going to be slightly older, and I would imagine many of those people would be very happy to have controls that they understand and controls that didn't require them to look away from the road to see them. You know, screen, and now we haven't driven it yet, so maybe they have a really good setup for and a great eye level or something like that for this whole thing. We don't know. But I'm just off the top of my head, I could tell you that getting rid of buttons and going strictly to screen-based buttons and whatnot usually doesn't work for me.
Yeah, well, they did give us a knob on the center console, yeah. So hopefully that does a lot of things already with the knob, right?
Yeah, we'll see if that's enough. So let's move on to another electric vehicle that is also, well, technically a truck.
Yeah, in the news. And before we do, I wanted to bring up one other point is autonomy, right? Mm-hmm. Autonomous driving or semi-autonomous driving. The new Escalade IQ will be capable of Super Cruise, mm-hmm. and also Ultra Cruise. So Ultra Cruise is something that Mandy mentioned, right? Mm-hmm. It's basically, they call it driveway to driveway. So actually not just highway driving, but also through the city. Mm. Driving, you know, extended periods of time, hands-free. But the driver still has to pay attention.
Okay.
And they were able to integrate a lot of the sensors, including LiDAR sensors, radar, and cameras. All, you know, there's nothing bulbous on top of this vehicle.
No,
they hid all the sensors. They're hidden.
Behind the grill and behind the
rear bumper, behind the glass. Sure. Everything is hidden. So I think that execution was really great. And now there's another electric entry into the space. Well, future space.
Right. And this comes from Heinrich Fisker.
Fisker Incorporated, Alaska pickup.
Right, which, by the way, I think really does look the business. I love the proportions of it. There are a lot of questions, and we don't have a lot of answers. First of all, yes, this is based essentially off of their brand new Fisker Ocean, which has gone into production. And he has
delivered. But not delivering many.
No, units. Not yet. And it is being built by Magna Steyr.
Exactly. In Austria.
Austria, that's it.
Yes.
Very important point here. It's only recently gone into production. I'm talking about the SUV. And he is talking about perhaps by next year having this vehicle in production as well. And it has many interesting little components to it. For one thing, the bed itself, which is quite large to begin with, actually has a folding, retracting bulkhead. It's electrically retracting.
Like mid-gate, yep.
Right?
Yep.
And it drops down, and then you can fold the rear seats. And if you unfold the tailgate from the rear seats, basically from the back of the front seats all the way to the tailgate, that's over 9 feet of cargo space lengthwise.
Yeah, so this is really, in my mind, the Alaska pickup truck concept by Fisker is squarely aimed at the likes of the Rivian R1T, uh-huh. but it's maybe a tiny bit smaller than that.
It looks smaller to me.
And also, he says, more affordable.
Well, that's the thing. So far, Fisker has sworn up and down that his prices are going to be lower than most people's. And I got to be honest with you, so far, yeah. His SUV, he has not given it a major price bump from when he announced it to when it went into production. However, we have yet to get our hands on one, so we don't know what it's going to be priced like right here at in our home. But if he can maintain cheap pricing, this might be the deal of the century for people who are looking for EV pickup trucks.
Yeah. What do you think about the name, Alaska?
It's okay.
Is it adventurous enough for
you? It's kind of funny because, you know, actually I'm wearing the shirt. Yes. One of the shirts. This isn't the right one. But the Alaska shirt, which was our going to Alaska in a Ford electric pickup truck, that was a very difficult trip because Alaska's infrastructure was dreadful.
Non-existent electric charging, basically.
Which is really funny in my mind to name an electric truck Alaska. But I get the point, which is Alaska's a rugged area and, you know, it's got a lot of undeveloped areas and, you know, all that. It's absolutely true. So it's there are better names out there, but that's not a bad one.
Yeah, so it's adventurous enough. A lot of people were making jokes that this truck will not drive across Alaska, but will, you know, that's, you know, in the future, it'll be different, of course.
Of course, it'll be different in the future.
Fairbanks, Alaska has, a couple of stations, and they're not super fast chargers.
No.
And beyond that, Anchorage has a few stations, but then beyond that, There's not a lot of charging.
Yeah, you're lucky if you can find a house where you can plug in 110 at this point. So
he stated, well, he one of the targets is early 2025
yep.
build process, so Q1 of 2025. He said he wanted to see one maybe by the end of 2024. And starting price for the Fisker Alaska is stated at $45,400. Unbelievable starting price.
That is just a little above what Ford was originally asking for their Pro version.
Pro version of the
F-150 with the smaller battery, basically their entry-level version of that. And as you guys very well know, Ford went and bumped the hell out of those prices later on. And bear in mind also that those Fords that I'm referring to were only available for fleet sales. So in that respect, if he can maintain that price, okay, then this could be a hell of a bargain.
And also, we don't know where this pickup truck will be made, because if it's made yes. in Austria, it will have a chicken tax attached to it.
Yes.
On its way here.
Which is a 25% tax. So that's one issue. And then the other, of course, is that you're not eligible for the tax credit on the battery because once it gets built in Austria. However, there are rumblings that this may not be built in Austria.
That well, it could be built somewhere in North America.
If so, North America, that's including Canada. If it is built in this part of the world, it's entirely possible that you could get that discount. But once again, these are a lot of ifs. And until we see an actual production version of this driving around, I'm not going to hold my breath. Although, to be fair to Fisker, almost everything he's laid his hands on, he's made happen, for good or for bad. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, yeah, yeah, but it was never like very, very, you know, high volume vehicles, right?
Not
he's
at first.
An amazing designer, right?
Indeed.
You know, just look at this design of this pickup truck.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
In fact, a lot of people were commenting on some of our articles saying that this is too wild, it cannot be produced.
Hmm.
But I mean, new technologies exist, and a lot of this stuff we're seeing here can be productionalized and can be made in high quantities.
Yep.
So, and you know, kudos to him and his team to designing something, I think, quite attractive. But and also, I want to make another comment about this. It's he mentioned being lightweight. So the Cadillac Escalade IQ, I would not call lightweight. We don't know its weight, but
it's going to be heavy.
It's probably over 8,000 pounds.
I would imagine so.
Right?
Yeah.
He mentioned low price. Also, 230 miles of range to start, which is fairly low range, but that means smaller battery and lower weight.
Yes, it does.
Which is, I think, good things. Not everybody wants to go 400 miles on a charge.
No, for an in-city little pickup that you can run around with, that may be the way to go. There's a lot that we don't know about this truck, and none of these numbers are official yet. And you know, as much as we admire the design, and this is a lot closer to production than, say, some of these other things that we've seen in the past that have turned into be vaporware. This could be a really interesting truck. There could be a larger battery. All of these things could happen. But once again, until we actually have something that we can drive, I'm going to be a little skeptical.
Yeah. So, well, I would say, you know, the Escalade IQ has a much higher chance of being sold in high volumes than the Alaska truck at this moment.
At this moment. Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
All right, do you want to switch gears again?
Yes, switch gears.
Just really quick.
Yes, we can draw this down.
Because we need to wind it down.
Yep.
I wanted to mention another couple of quick news. So you and I recently did an entire, I would say, history of the Titan.
Well, we covered its history and its pros and cons.
Pros and cons. Why is it being discontinued? It is being discontinued after 2024.
Yep.
So about a year from now, stop production of the Titan.
Yep.
In fact, ironically, to make for electric vehicle future.
Yes, that's correct. But they weren't specific in terms of what electric vehicles those would be at the Canton plant.
In Mississippi.
Right.
Exactly. So if you're interested to know more about the 2024 Titan and its demise, and also why we think it was great and why it failed, check out oltfl.com.
Absolutely.
Also, Zach, our wonderful office manager
and producer extraordinaire,
and producer and
editor,
writer,
yep,
and editor. He said he wrote a story about a tiny, tiny compact pickup truck possible from Toyota.
That's right, based on the Corolla. By the way, that story was originally produced by me over a year ago.
Thank you. Sorry, credit must be due.
Yeah, but Zach covered this and put together a very nice story about it. And we know that Toyota is keeping a really close eye on Maverick and, to a lesser extent, probably Santa Cruz.
Yes.
And there is no reason why they won't produce a vehicle. There's been a lot of rumors about them reusing the name Stout, which was their original, one of their original names for their pickup truck when it first came to the States. So there's a lot of rumors going on, but nothing concrete about when, where, and what.
Yes. Do you want my two cents?
Yes.
Just really quick. I think it's a good idea. I think small pickups, there's still room for those. But if it looks like a Corolla Sport front end with a bed attached to it, I think they'll have limited success.
Yeah.
That's just my take on it.
I agree with you.
Just look at the Maverick and the Santa Cruz. They're a little bit more butch. They're a little bit more square. I mean, the Santa Cruz is kind of has its own thing going on.
The Santa Cruz looks a little bit like a lot like a crossover.
Yeah. But I think if this is too much like a crossover, there'll be a lot of jokes about it being a crossover with a bed and unusable.
Yep.
And so I think they really need to make it more macho.
Well, that's the good news, because they actually took a design from one of their electric vehicles, very, very popular with a lot of people when they were looking at this one electric concept, which was the it was a cruiser concept that was all electric.
Like electric cruiser.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
There was a name for it. Anyway, so that seems to have translated over to what the Land Cruiser is now, and there's two different Land Cruiser designs, right? So what's to stop Toyota from making a similar type of bold design and adding it to some sort of small crossover pickup? I say there's nothing, and it would be really smart of them to continue on that path, because judging by the feedback we've received on the new Land Cruiser, it is a remarkably popular design. And so keeping that up, there it is. And
if there was a pickup truck designed like this cruiser concept, I would send my money right now to Toyota.
A lot of our competitors have actually morphed images where they take like the back of a Maverick and then the front of this and put it together and say, here's the new Stout. And it's not, you know, there's a lot of...
They have not announced it, no.
Yeah, they have not announced it, but they look really good. And I've seen two different renderings. One where they use round headlights, and that looks really good. And the other one where they're using the front end of this cruiser concept, and it looks really good. So, I mean, Toyota's already got people like, here's a design that you can use. Go ahead and do it. But the question, of course, is whether or not they'll do it, and if there's a financial reward for them, a return on their investment. And I say there is.
Yeah, but if it's a Corolla Cross underneath, that's okay, as long as it looks like this.
Well, especially a hybrid, because the Corolla Cross Hybrid has all-wheel drive, something the Ford Maverick Hybrid does not have yet.
Exactly.
Yep.
And then finally, I just wanted to mention, so we're still testing a lot of big trucks, and part of it is classic trucks.
Yes.
So our OBS, our old body style Ford F-250, I recently got together with David, so that video also is on alltfl.com, mm-hmm. and we compared our Ford F-250 diesel Power Stroke to his Dodge Ram at the time. It was still Dodge.
Uh-huh.
Dodge Ram pickup, 5.9 common rail.
Yeah, very actually different trucks from slightly different periods, but
different still, eras.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting video nonetheless, and I highly recommend it.
Yes, thank you. And it's always great to get David's perspective.
Yeah, the dude literally owns a ranch and works it every day and knows how a proper work truck should function. And so his take on everything that we've given him to look at has been invaluable, because it's a perspective we don't have, frankly.
And also, we were helping his ranch. We were moving hay for his yaks.
By we mean you, of course.
Well, yes. And I mean, his ranch is called Happy Yak Ranch. And we don't want sad yaks.
No.
Am I pronouncing that correctly, by the way? Yeah, yaks?
Of course you are, okay. Yeah. And at one point, we used to call it the Yakadega Raceway, too, because
yes.
we had a little track kind of set up there, too. So it's an interesting video. It's a contrasting video showing what a regular work truck, what's needed versus what has been provided, and his perspective on it. And I highly recommend checking it out.
And how they compare it to brand new trucks.
Well, exactly.
Which is spectacular, amazing.
Yeah.
How far pickup trucks have gone.
Things have changed significantly in the past few decades.
So there you have it. So here's your news all packaged into one.
Yep.
And thank you for joining us. Hopefully you found this interesting. An inside look at the Cadillac IQ Escalade and even more news than that.
What did you call it again? You call it the Escaladic?
Escaladic.
Yeah, I like that one better.
Escaladic, it's like endearing to me. It's an endearing term.
So I'm curious too what names you're going to use, those of you who are watching and listening. And please let us know.
Especially in Beverly Hills, if you're listening to us.
Oh my God. All right, let us know in the comments below and have a wonderful week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.